Good morning, City Light.
Good morning.
My wife, Mike, works this time. That's awesome. Hi, it's great to be here this morning. I'm going to be up front. I am not feeling the best. I'm already a sweater, but when you add that I'm not feeling the best, it looks bad. So if you're sitting there with 9-1 on your phone ready to hit that last one, I'll be okay. Don't hit that, okay? I'll get through this. Anyway, I wanted to make you aware, in case you're not aware of it, that today, all over the United States, is National Youth Pastor Preaching Sunday. I don't know if you're aware of that, but all over the country, there's youth pastors preaching. I don't know why that is, but that seems to be a thing, and so you're part of that today. Again, good morning. It is really great to be here with you guys. And I just have to say, I'm just super honored to be a part, to be a part of this City Light family, and to be a part of a church that's just able to serve the community so well, and just able to go out and love on God's people. It's just been super awesome to be a part of that and come alongside all of you. I know, and I just want to remind us here today that we're not just here to serve each other, though, right? But to actively run after those who have not yet heard the gospel message, that life-changing message. And I just have to tell you that it has been really fun. My wife and I think, have been here for a little over 2 years, and it has just been super fun coming alongside so many of you and just being a church that chases after those people. It's been so good. I also get to work with student ministry here at City Light, and I love doing that. I love talking to students about kids, and I love teaching them that gospel message. And I especially love those moments where they get it. It just hits with them, and it becomes life-changing to them. I've been able to see that in so many students. And I think that's why I do it. I just love seeing that when God gets through, how he can change lives. And that's just been a lot of fun for me here also. So a lot of times in student ministry, we talk about identity. A lot of students struggle with that and just go through that and just have that question, who am I? And as I started preparing this message, I started thinking about that and started realizing that that's just not an issue with just students. I think a lot of us as adults also struggle with that very same question. Who am I? Who am I? I know for me, I go back all the way to my senior year in high school. And yeah, I can remember back that far. A little over 30 years ago. I don't even know how far. But anyway. My senior year in high school, I'm just about to graduate, and my youth pastor pulls me aside, and we have this conversation. We're just kind of talking, and he looks at me, and he says, Ronnie, back then I was Ronnie. He says, Ronnie, I just want you to know I've been around you for a few years now, and I've really gotten to know you, and Ronnie, I really think that you're supposed to go into ministry. I really feel like you should be a pastor. And so I prayed about that, and I thought about that for a little while, and not too long after that, I ended up in Norfolk, Nebraska, and I became Ron Anderson, the Bible College student. And so while I was there, I kind of got settled in and got into a rhythm and started just doing things at the college there, and while I was there, I got involved with a ministry, a bunch of guys that went into the local high schools there in Norfolk, Nebraska, and we started doing Bible studies in the schools with students in those schools. And then not long after that, my youth pastor actually asked me, he had started a new church in a small town in Nebraska, and asked if maybe I could go out and help him with his student ministry there. And so I was able to do that, and I loved it. I had so much fun just talking to students about Jesus, and I loved doing it, and I was hooked. So, fast forward again, and I am now working at a children's home in a small town here in Iowa, Peterson, Iowa, and it's based around a farm, and I'm working at this home and working with students that have come from broken families, or they've come from situations where they have gotten into trouble and their moms and dads. I can remember one kid, his mom must have thought he was from California and he was getting into gangs, and his mom said, I'm going to send him where there's cows. I mean, she sent him all the way to this little town in Iowa. And so I got to work with students that were going through some tough times and also get to share the gospel with them and work alongside them in a farm situation. And that was just an awesome time. While I was there, I met a girl, and I want to clarify, she worked there. She wasn't one of the girls at the home. Just want to be really clear about that. But I met this girl, and not too long after that, her and I got married. And so now it was Ron Anderson, the husband. And so Ron Anderson, the husband, I realized I needed to get a job. And so I moved back here to Council Bluffs and got a full-time job and then started doing like part-time youth ministry at my home church. So fast forward again. Things didn't quite go the way that I thought they were going to go. Things didn't go the way that, you know, planned. It just, some things happened. And so now I am Ron Anderson, divorced. And this is over 30 years ago. And back then, if you were divorced, ministry wasn't going to be in your future. Ministry was pretty much off the table for me. And for me, when student ministry was off the table, guys, that rocked my world. I didn't know what I was going to do. And I really struggled with that question, who am I? Who am I? So through time and actually through going through some counseling, I came to realize and to remember something that I had always known but had just kind of forgotten. Who I am is His. Who I am is a child of God. I've always been a child of God, and I'm so grateful that God remained faithful to me even though I wasn't. Listen, if your identity is wrapped up in something that can change, guys, you're headed for a crisis. But if your identity is found in being a child of God, then the pain and the rejection, the loneliness and the change isn't so overwhelming. It doesn't hurt so much. I love the verse that says, I can do all things. I love to say it like this, I can do life through Christ who gives me strength. So I started to be more confident, more content. I was okay with the way things were because now I was saying, I'm His. I'm His. I'm a child of God. So fast forward again, and a friend of mine here in town had just started a new church here in town and asked if possibly I could come down there and help him start a student ministry. And my first response to him was, I can't. I'm divorced. And so I didn't know what I was going to do, but through many conversations with him and many conversations with a lot of other people, I was reminded again, I'm His. I'm a child of God. And guys, God can use broken people. God can use people who have made mistakes, and He can turn that around. And I was reminded of that and reminded of the fact that I am His. And it was time to get back to work. Since then, I've been Ron Anderson, Kelly's husband. I've been Ron Anderson's stepfather, Ron Anderson father, Ron Anderson grandpa, or better known as Papa. Ron Anderson, the construction worker, Ron Anderson, friend, and oh yeah, Ron Anderson, the student pastor. But first and foremost, I am His. Today we're going to look at a passage of scripture that is found in all four of the Gospels. And what that means is there are four books written about the life of Jesus, and in all four of those books, this event is written about. I think for us today, it shows how important this event really is to God. It is important to God. Why? Well, we have Jesus. His father, Joseph, is now out of the picture. He's 30 years old. He is now the man of the house. He's a carpenter, and he has taken on the family business. In his whole life, he has grown up knowing that Joseph isn't really his father. I'm sure that he and Mary had had conversations about the fact that he was the Son of God. Jesus grew up knowing that he was the Son of God. But he had never actually heard his father say, "Hey, buddy." Imagine your whole life growing up knowing something about yourself that nobody had ever really said. Today, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture where I think Jesus steps into his true identity. And guys, it really is a beautiful thing. So we've already read Matthew, the third chapter. And now I want to read the other three accounts in the Gospels. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. "Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form. And the Holy Spirit, like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased.' In Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, in those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased.' And in John, the first chapter, verses 29 through 33, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came, baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, and I saw the Spirit descend upon him from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" So, we've read all four of the gospel accounts now, and what I'd like to do today is just kind of mash them all together, and let's just talk through this story. So Jesus came down from Nazareth, which would have been north of where the baptism of Jesus happened, in the Jordan River, just outside of Judea. Now, it probably would have been about a 3.5 to 4 day walk, and Jesus has decided to make that walk just to see John the Baptist. As he gets there, he sees John baptizing people, and these are the things that John is saying: "Repent now, for the kingdom of God is near." He's saying when the Messiah comes, he's going to be bringing a winnowing fork, and he's going to take people out. He's going to separate the wheat from the chaff, and he's going to burn the chaff, and he's going to keep the wheat. And that is the message that John is saying. John is saying, repent, repent, you need to repent. And Jesus walks in and sees this huge line of people. Now, I don't know about you guys, but who here likes to stand in line? I mean, especially after the holiday season, right? I am so over lines. I am so tired of having to wait in lines. I think it's why Amazon is so popular. Nobody likes to stand in lines. And the reality in this moment, there's this huge line, and Jesus walks up, and guess what the Son of God does? John is saying, you need to repent. And so they are being baptized to repent so that their sins will be forgiven. And I think that all of us here today could probably agree on one thing for sure. Who's the one person that walked this earth that did not need to repent of his sins? It was Jesus, right? And what does he do? He gets in line. The Son of God, perfect, righteous, blameless, stands in line with sinners. He stands in line and he's just shuffling along with everybody else. And guys, he didn't need to be there. And as he gets close, his name is called, Jesus of Nazareth. John looks up, and it says in the book of John that John didn't recognize him at this point. He didn't know who he was. But he does say, I don't think I can baptize you. And I wonder if that same spirit that caused John to leap in his mother's womb, that same spirit is now causing John to realize there's something different about him. There's something different about this guy. And John isn't sure he should baptize him. Now, let's go back to that line. Nobody likes waiting in a line. Have you ever been in a line and somebody holds it up? I had that happen just a week ago while I was shopping for my wife, and I was about to lose it. I hate those kind of things. And my wife gets embarrassed because I'm the kind of guy that's going to say something about it. And so I did. So anyway, Jesus gets up there and the line just stops. And there had to be people wondering, what's going on? What's happening? So then John baptizes Jesus. John takes perfection and does a baptism of repentance. He puts him in the water and he pulls him out of the water, and all of a sudden it happens. At that moment, for the first time in Scripture that we know of, Jesus hears his Father's voice. And he says, Son, you are my Son, and in you I am pleased. Now, how did he hear his Father's voice? It says that the heavens were torn open. There are two cool things that we get to see here. The first is this. The same conflict that John the Baptist has with Jesus, when he says, I'm not worthy to do this, is a picture of another time when Jesus talks about baptism, and it is being baptized at the cross. Jesus refers to his death as a baptism. So on the cross, what does the thief say to Jesus as they're hanging together there on the crosses? The thief looks over and says, why are you here to die? You've done nothing wrong. And what does John say to Jesus at his baptism? Why are you here to get baptized? You've done nothing to cause you to be baptized. Jesus then dies on the cross. And what happens immediately after the death of Christ, what happens? The curtain that separated God from humanity is torn from top to bottom. And it signified at that moment that God is out of the box. At that moment of Jesus' baptism, as soon as he comes out of the water, the same word for torn is used when it says the heavens were torn open and God unleashed on his Son. So you can't understand the baptism of Jesus until after the cross, because the baptism is a picture of the cross. He comes out of the water and he hears his Father's voice. Can you just imagine Jesus praying in that moment, and the confidence that our Savior, the confidence that he must feel in that moment? It's like when your kids get up to bat, or they're standing at the free throw line, and you yell out, hey son, you can do this. Or your daughter steps onto the playing field, and you yell out, hey princess, you got this. Or maybe it's like that moment of heartbreak when a father embraces his child. And he looks into their eyes and he says, it doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter what they say. You're mine. This is Jesus' big reveal. This is Jesus' moment. It's like that moment when you say to your child, you've got this. You can do this. And they look up at you and they know. And what happens? Swish. This is Jesus' moment. Today, there are three things that I hope that we can take away with us. There are three things that Jesus gained directly that relate to us as believers, and they relate to you even if you do not believe in him. In this moment, we see Jesus' identity, we see his dedication, and we see his affirmation. So the first in the baptism of Jesus is he showed the world his identity. What do I mean by that? He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He has created everything. He came wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. We know that, right? We know that about him. But in this moment, it would be like the CEO of Disney going to Disney and not using a fast pass. It would be like Scott Frost standing in line to buy football tickets to a Husker game. I put that one in there for my wife. It is the creator of what is, lowering himself to the point of rubbing shoulders with us. You see, there's a difference between Jesus and other religious figures. Throughout time, religious figures, they just want to give you information. Jesus did not come into this world to give you information. Jesus came into this world so that he would know you, that he would understand you. Jesus came into this world as an expression of love. Jesus came into this world and religious people, they didn't like him. They hated him. And you know why? Because he tore down the walls of religion. Religions, they keep people out. Jesus, he lets people in. Jesus hung out with sinners. He hung out with the people who were messed up, the people who were looked down upon, the sick people, the outcasts. That is who Jesus rolled with. He was with them all the time. And guess what? Sinners love Jesus. Do sinners love us? If your phrase is, Sometimes I think it's tempting to just huddle around other Christians, to stay safe and just try to make ourselves better. If your phrase is, how can I be better? Please listen to me. Please hear this. That is not the gospel. That ain't Jesus. Jesus came into this world saying, I'm the one who makes you whole. I'm the one that forgives you. I'm the one that can purify you. Your job isn't to protect yourself from those people. Your job is to love those people. That's what Jesus did. You see, Jesus in this moment shows us who he is. Jesus stooped down to be baptized. When we get baptized, we're reaching up. He identifies himself as a savior who is with his people. Do you guys know that Jesus stood in line with you? See, Jesus stood in line with you on those highs, those mountaintop experiences, but he also stood in line with you in those valleys, in those low moments. He was there. Jesus stood in line with you when you made the good decisions, and he was there with you when you made the mistakes. Jesus stood in line with you in the good diagnosis, but he was also there with you in the not so good news. Jesus is there when the world seemed dark and it seems lonely. Jesus is with you. Jesus' identity is that he became one of us. The king took off his crown and he stood in line. The second thing I think that we see in Jesus' baptism is his dedication. He identified himself and he dedicated himself. When he came out of the water, he was saying, game on! Cue the tunnel music, smoke rolls out, Jesus comes running onto the field and he says, hey Satan, time's up, man. Time's up. You thought you had this? No way, buddy. The king has come and I am making myself known. Up until now, yeah, I've been chilling as a carpenter. But you know what? It's time to put the hammer down. It's time to stand up and let everyone know the Messiah, the Savior of the world, Jesus, I'm here. In that moment, he was dedicated to his future and his future death. Jesus knew that his baptism was a representation of his death, the burial, and the resurrection of who Jesus is. And he knew that this baptism would forever be talked about like by pastors and people all over the world. It is a representation of who Jesus is, and that he is dedicated to the mission. And guess what, you guys? The mission is you. Listen, Jesus will come someday in judgment. But first, he came to make a way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way. And guys, it's our job to point people to Jesus. The third thing that I think we see is affirmation. It's the moment he comes out of the water and the heavens are torn open and his dad says, that's my boy. It's the moment when the Spirit descends upon him like a dove and John recognizes him and he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now John knew this because John knew Scripture. And he's actually quoting a part from Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. And I want to read that for you guys now. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights, I put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard on the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice, and he will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for this law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. This is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Jesus' baptism is the announcement that God is present. It is the announcement and dedication, here is my mission, and it is the affirmation, son, now it's time. Jesus, his baptism was a big deal to him. It was the moment when he showed the world his identity. He dedicated himself to his mission, and it is the moment when his father said, this is my son. Have you ever had a moment like that? A moment when you knew. You knew. No more questions about who I am. I can remember a time when I was singing a song on a stage and I was messing up. I couldn't get through it. And I was really struggling with the song and I hear my 3-year-old son from the audience yell out, I love you, Dad. Or maybe it's the cards, and my kids are here now, so I hope I can get through this, but maybe it's the card that I get on Father's Day and my birthday that I'm a stepfather, and so usually my cards address me as Ron, but in this card, on this day, they said Dad. Or maybe it's that moment when I was struggling with that question, who am I? Struggling with doubt and fear. And my dad says, Ronnie, just be you. Just do you. Remember who you are, Ronnie, and remember whose you are, and just be you. And as I look back now and I realize now, I remember those moments. I think it was my Heavenly Father opening up the heavens and saying, you can do this. You've got this because I've got you. My Heavenly Father reminding me, You are loved. You're my beloved, and I love you, and you're mine. I pray today that you know that. I pray today that you know who you are and whose you are. I pray today that you know that you are a child of God. You are His. You're a child of God with all the rights and the privileges and the power that comes with access to a Father that says, you are mine. You are my beloved. I love you, and you are mine. I pray today that you know that, that you feel that. I pray today that I have people say, thanks for reminding me of that. Guys, I pray that you see past the sweat and you know that this is God saying, I love you. You're mine. You're my beloved. You can do this. I pray that that is where your identity lies. Will you pray with me? Father God, again, I just thank you so much, God, for just being here. God, I thank you so much for your faithfulness to me and your faithfulness to all of us, God. God, I thank you so much for your kindness. And God, I pray as we sit here today, God, that, God, I pray that you are heard, that you are heard as people leave here today, God, that people are reminded today, God, that they are a child of God, that they are His. That they are yours. And God, you truly love them. They are your beloved. God, I pray that that means something to us today. God, I'm so grateful that your Son willingly gave up everything to come down here so that he would know us, so that he would understand us, God. And then willingly take a punishment that I deserve, God. And allow me to get a reward that I didn't deserve. God, I'm so grateful, and I pray, God, that I can live a life that shows how grateful I am to you. God, that I can live a life in contentment and confidence, knowing, God, who I am. God, I don't know if construction worker, carpenter, nurse, doctor, I don't know, God, but I pray that in all those things, that I can be a construction worker, but God, I'm His. That I can be a carpenter, but I'm His. I can be a nurse, but God, we're His. God, I just pray that we live our lives knowing that. So that God, the people waiting, looking on, God, they can see you in the lives that we live. God, again, I'm just so grateful for these words that you put on my heart to share. And again, God, I pray that I did nothing to get in the way today of you being heard. May all of us go out of here today reminded we are your beloved. You love us. God, we are yours. In your name we pray. Amen.